Hello, and welcome to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Let's unpack the relationships that we encounter in our daily lives and learn about what makes them tick. And now your host for Red Rock Relationships, Dr. James B. Stein.
It's finals week. Isn't that fun? We have a couple more episodes. I mentioned last time that I was going to try my best to do one more episode in between that episode and the season finale. And I was able to do it. I just didn't know how I wanted to do it because today's topic does not have a lot of academic rigor behind it. And quite frankly, I didn't know who to talk about it. So I reached out to some colleagues and I was like, do you know anyone? And they were like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And so I was like, well, if we don't know what we're talking about, we might as well talk to some people who do know what we're talking about. And in this instance, the people with the best knowledge about our topic for the day are the folks who invented it, the young adults who we often teach in our classes. So what I've done today is, for the very first time ever, I have brought two of my own students into the booth to talk about a phenomenon that some of you may know, some of you may not. It is called the ick. So to help me do that, I've got Riley Faulkner. I've got Josh Payton. Welcome to the pod. How does it feel to be on the show?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So good. I can't believe we've gotten to this point.
I know, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you're not going to be students anymore. But at least for the next couple days, y'all are still my students. So let that sink in. So like I said, we're going to talk about the ick. Before we do, what I like to do is often I'll invite my guests on the show and I'll say, well, you know, tell me about your academic journey and your area of expertise. We can't really do that for you all. Mm-hmm. So if you could, just the two of you, spend, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds each talking about maybe what are your aspirations after graduation? What compelled you to take classes on communication and close relationships? And yeah. Just a little bit from you each. Riley, maybe you want to start?
Yeah, for sure. I've always been really interested in communication studies, and especially coming to Utah Tech, I felt like there was a lot of courses that I really was attuned to and really, you know, spoke out to me, and especially in intrapersonal communication is what I very much lean towards and I find very interesting. And finding how we all talk to ourselves and how that affects how we talk to others is really interesting to me. And so especially with like our nonverbal communication class, it is wild to kind of think of how we talk, like how we are able to explain. Sorry, I'm like losing my words. Sorry, I'm nervous. But just kind of how we all talk to each other and how ourselves, really how we talk to ourselves, affects our entire communication. And so that's really something that I find in communication very interesting. And so I want to be able to study that a little bit more. I think that intrapersonal communication isn't necessarily studied all the way to the extent that it can be. And so I would love to even dive even more into that and to like my master's program when I go and study like communication studies and really focus on that.
Yeah. And I, of course, supervised your senior seminar project, which was all about self-talk in athletes. Now, before we get to Josh, have you chosen a destination for your next degree, or are we still up in the air?
I would love to go to ASU.
I would love for you to go to ASU as well.
Yes. Right now that is my front runner. So wanted to take the summer, have a summer to myself, and then going forward after that. So.
Okay, very nice. Well, you're going to have to keep me updated. In the meantime, second guest, if you would.
My passion in communication kind of came from a little bit of psych. I started with psych and looking at how people's brains wrap their life into a bundle of like understanding. Mm. And then communication was like the next best thing. When I was talking to my advisor, they kind of made communication seem like the better aspect of psych in terms of how people communicate rather than just why our brains are wanting to communicate. So I moved into your classes. I first took your close relationships class, and that was a blast, especially with interacting with people, getting to experience people's perspectives. So then I later took your nonverbal class. Riley and I are in that class together, and it's a great time. I have a huge passion for communication studies, but after college, after I graduate, I'm double majoring currently in psych and comm. Once I'm done, I'm actually looking to get into businesses. I've been trying to start a couple of businesses for the past year, and college and just pursuing education is purely out of my own desire. I love learning and trying to develop my own understanding of concepts, especially scholarly concepts. So
very nice. Very nice. Well, we're going to do a little bit of learning today in so much as y'all are going to be teaching people. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, we're talking about the ick today. Mm-hmm. And there might be some people who listen to that and say, what is the huh? Now, I did my best to figure out the origins of the lingo. And the only thing I could find was an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants where the ick is a rash that they get.
Oh.
But that's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about a rash, although maybe it's more of like a mental rash. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I want to do here in the just the first couple minutes. I want to talk about what the ick is and what the ick isn't. So I'd like to ask each of you one of those questions. Riley, I'll start with you again. Mm-hmm. In your best summation, what is the ick?
I would say that the ick is any really just unattractive quality that somebody can have. And it can be from the smallest thing of, I know it will sound silly, but standing up and tying your shoes, that can be an ick to somebody. And, or even like to red flags to that extent. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, especially since not a lot of people know exactly what it is, everyone has their own version of their ick or what their icks can be. But for me and myself, I would say that it's any unattractive quality that I would see in a eventual partner.
Okay, so you noted the subjectivity there. So this is why I want to talk about what the ick isn't as well. So Josh, I'm gonna put that one on your shoulders. What isn't the ick? Like, what are we not talking about when we say I've got the ick?
I think, like, going off of kind of what Riley said, what isn't the ick is something that's, like, extreme, like something that would immediately be denoting of, like, you shouldn't be with this person, whereas icks are kind of in that gray area when it's looking at specifically what might not work for someone. What isn't an ick is something that's, like, deliberately bad. If you're, like, constantly mistreating someone, that's not necessarily in the realm of an ick anymore. That's just something that you don't want to associate with at all. So it's, like, purely a red flag at that point.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad that we got there because I think you're both right, just based on my own, like, snarking, I guess the word would be. The ick is not a demonstrable, notable red flag. Like, for example, oh, I saw him hit his dog. That's not the ick. Mm-hmm. That is abusive behavior. Mm-hmm. Whereas the ick might be, I don't like the way he talks to his dogs. Like, I don't like that little voice that
baby
he uses
voice
with mm-hmm. his dogs, right? Because that's not inherently problematic, right? That's not an inherently bad thing. But you, in your subjective experience, is what, it's kind of like a you problem. It's what makes it bad for you. So that kind of leads me into my next question. Is the ick a symptom of a red flag in the other person, or is it more of like a symptom of a problem with us, right? Is it more like an us problem that we need to overcome, or might this be our intuition telling us that there might be more, if we scratch underneath that surface, there might be more blatant red flags? Mm-hmm. What do y'all think? We'll start with Josh this time because we've been starting with Riley every time.
I think with some icks, they can kind of like denote some underlying core aspects of a person. So it might be more leaning to they have red flags or something about them you don't necessarily like. But a lot of icks seem to be based on past people's past lived experiences. So like you said, someone talking down to or like doing the baby voice for the dog, like, oh, come here, puppy. Oh, come here. Like, people don't like that sort of thing if something in their past has kind of like denoted that it makes them uncomfortable. Mm. I recently was scrolling through TikTok to like kind of refresh and the ick specifically. And one of the examples that someone gave was they have the same name as like that icky uncle, like that uncle that gives them the kind of weird
feeling. There you go.
So,
right.
And I've had that sort of thing happen to me is like, my name is Josh. And I've talked to a few girls in the past that they thought that was like an ick because someone that they knew previously was also named Josh that was like an F-boy, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, my ex's name was Josh, and then therefore I can't date anyone named Josh ever again.
Exactly.
There's your ick, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think you're right. I think that it depends on what the ick is. If it's related to something completely mundane, like a name that you did not choose, mm-hmm. that's an us problem. But if it's related to some behaviors that might be indicative of more problematic behaviors, then maybe there's some red flags hiding underneath the surface. I don't know, Riley, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with Josh on that point, especially coming from like a female standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think that I would say that I find that women find a lot more things unattractive in males than men might find in women, for like heterosexual couples. And especially it can even be like as simple like, oh, as like the baby voice to the dog, or like, oh, like I don't know how much I really jive with that, like I don't know how much I like that, and that can be an ick. But I know that I've even caught myself having icks for people of things that I do, and I'm like, oh, I don't think that would be attractive if I did it, so I don't necessarily think it's attractive when somebody else does it either.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, and again, we're not necessarily, for example, like you can be grossed out by somebody chewing with their mouth open. I personally I wouldn't qualify that as the ick, mm-hmm. because the expectation is that that bothers a lot of people, whereas the ick is more this individual, subjective, this shouldn't bother me and yet it does kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to talk about the relational element of this, and y'all have both taken, although in different semesters, you've taken my, it was once called Communicating in Close Relationships, now it's called Communicating in Romantic Relationships. Okay. We changed it because it's mostly about romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is, I want to talk about what the ick might look like in two different relationship types. So, for example, does the ick differ from if I get the ick for somebody on a first date versus if I get the ick for my partner of 8 months, right? Mm-hmm. How does that experience differ, even if it's about like, even if it's an ick related to the same thing? So, like, what does it mean to get the ick for someone who you just started dating versus the implications for getting the ick to someone who you've been with for a while? And I'll let whoever wants to tackle that first, by all means.
Yeah, I can touch on that. I feel like, especially when you're starting to date somebody or like you're only going on a couple dates, when you get the ick, it's easier to weed that person out and to be like, okay, like I got the ick too many times, or they did X, Y, and Z, and I don't necessarily want to follow up after our first or second date. But with being in a relationship, I feel like icks become more tolerable, or it doesn't necessarily have the same impact as if you were on a first date with somebody, or even if you were just hanging out with somebody. I think that they aren't necessarily transferable in the amount that it affects the relationship.
Interesting, interesting. Josh, same thoughts, different thoughts, complimentary thoughts?
I was going to go off of that and say, like, I think if it's when you're first getting to know someone, it's almost like you're going to go and defame them in a way with your friends. Like, you're going to go talk about it and bring it up to your friends. Whereas if you're in a long-term relationship with someone and they do something that's a little icky to you, you're probably not going to go, like, bring that up to your friends unless it's something that actually is, like, really bothering you that you want them to get better. Whereas someone that you're just on a first date with, like, it's almost a funny experience if they do it to you, and you're going to be like, oh, you guys think that too, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I it's almost like this makes me think of social exchange theory, because when we're exchanging, you know, value and messages and stuff like that, when we first meet someone, if we notice a behavior that bothers us, it might be an opportunity for us to cut off, mm-hmm. end the relationship. But because we're invested, right, 8 months down the road, they do the exact same behavior in the exact same way, we might be more willing to overlook it because there's at least relational context and an establishment of investments. And so I think, again, from a social exchange perspective, this really speaks to the importance of being on your, you know, quote unquote, best behavior early on in the relationship. And I know it can feel deceptive. But in reality, we need to make sure that people are comfortable with us before we show them that icky side of us, what some people might refer to as goblin mode, mm-hmm. if we're familiar with goblin mode. Right? Oh, yeah. So everybody has that little way of acting when they're all alone, mm-hmm. by themselves, right? They behave a little weird. Maybe they're a little not as well kept, right? or they're a little sillier or goofier. That kind of behavior when you're first meeting someone might be off-putting. When you've gotten to know someone for quite some time, it can be endearing. And therefore, that ick becomes less of a screening technique and more of an opportunity to embrace somebody for their quote-unquote flaws. Does that feel fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that for sure.
Interesting. And so, like, I think this is part of the reason why there's so little research on the topic. Because, I mean, what we're talking about, right, it's very hard to sit people down and be like, tell me what the ick is. What are your icks? Because one person's ick is another person's, mm-hmm. you know, green flag or like a desirable characteristic. And the subjectivity of it means that we can't identify specific behaviors necessarily. It's more of like a perceptive thing. And for quantitative people like me who study interpersonal communication, that's a little bit less
sexy or desirable. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, for somebody interested in studying intrapersonal comm, self-comm, could be an interesting path to pursue. Not putting any pressure on you, just saying it's something that, you know, I often have said that the ick is a dissertation waiting to happen. Not that I'm saying you should go write a dissertation.
I don't know, maybe
on
I
it,
needed but. A needed something for that.
Okay, this kind of bleeds into the next question that I had for you all, and it tackles this idea of, like, is the ick an us problem, or is the ick a problem with the other person, or is it both, or some compromise between the two? When we get the ick, is this insurmountable, or is it something that we can deal with, or does it depend on the relationship in question? I'll let y'all answer however y'all want to. Maybe we start with Josh again.
I think in terms of whether someone can get over something in that way, I almost look at icks, especially in the way social media portrays it, as they're generally the ones that people bring up are going to be like really surface level, like very specific icks that in reality most people are going to be able to get over. But the way it's portrayed in media is that it's like, you should close these people off. They're get away from the situation. Like, it's immediate red flags. It's just painting the person in a bad picture. So it's interesting. I think most people in general will be able to get over most of the icks that people are going over. Hmm. But the way media portrays it is that they'll never get over it.
Do you think that's maybe an excuse for people who are nervous about dating to end an early relationship?
I can see that.
Oh,
yeah, Riley, you seem a lot more confident in that answer. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say 100%. I think even though as much as all of us want human connection, I think we also want an excuse not to have it as well. And so especially with the icks, I think it gives an excuse to not be in a relationship with somebody, or especially just kind of like a turn off, like, oh, nope, they did this, so it's done. I can move on to the next person. I think especially in media. That.
Okay, so now I'm thinking about relational dialectics theory, specifically the tension, which I wouldn't expect y'all to remember off the top of your head, but one day you might. You might be like me one day. It makes me think of the autonomy versus connection dialectic, this idea that we want to be our own self and our own independent. We want to have agency. We want to be able to do what we want, when we want, and also we want to connect with someone, but that connection often means that we must, at least at times, adhere to another person's agenda. Mm-hmm. I was once with somebody who got, this was prior to the terminology, but I was once with somebody who got the ick because of my passion for competitive wiffle ball. And I was like, all right, well, hey, you know what? That's, if that gives you the ick, then that ick gives me the ick. And it was a mutual ick, and we had a nice little split up over it. But that was a very fledgling, novel, new relationship. That subjectivity coming up, right? So I think that, again, I think there are a lot of different theoretical approaches we could take to studying this phenomenon. I just don't think it's been done. I have one more question for you all, but we have some time. So before we get to that question, I want to ask, if you can remember, great. If you can't remember, maybe pick another one. But I'm wondering if you all can locate the first time that another person gave you the ick and what it was over. Keep in mind, classroom appropriate, right? Pretend like we're in the classroom. So if something comes to mind for either of you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you think of a time, maybe not even necessarily the first time, but a time where you got the ick and you were like, oh, this is what the ick is? Does anything come to mind for either of you all?
I can think of one right off the rip.
Oh, yeah?
It was when I was, probably not the exact first time, but it's the most keen that I can remember off the rip is one of my first relationships when I got into college. This girl and I were hanging out, and I noticed that she like kind of had bad breath, but I thought we're both athletes, so I was like, maybe she just gets exhausted and eats a lot of protein, something, mm-hmm. and has bad breath. But then I asked her about it, and she was like, oh, I just like brush my teeth every other day or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, is that just a morals thing? Like, you are against like fluoride or something like that? And she was like, oh, no, I just like feel like I don't need to do it. And then every time that I hung out with her, I like felt bad bringing it up, like, oh, your breath kind of stinks. So then I kind of like wean myself out of the relationship without making her feel bad about it. I don't know.
1 month anniversary is coming up and you're like, happy 1 month anniversary. I got you a lot of gum and some mouthwash.
some mid packs.
So okay. All right. So yeah, I mean, I could see that. It's so, but importantly,
the bad breath might be a normal turn off for someone. Mm-hmm. That's not what gave you the ick, am I right? What gave you the ick is the perspective. Mm-hmm. That's the unusual part. Riley, do you have an ick example?
I was talking to this guy in, it was like right out of high school, and I didn't really know him before, but we met up in person to like hang out and just kind of get to know each other. And it's the weirdest ick, but every time he walked, he skipped. And it wasn't like a casual skip. It was like every time.
Full-fledged.
Full-fledged skipping. Like he had somewhere to be and it was the yellow brick road. I don't know. But it was like such an odd behavior that I wasn't necessarily used to. I was like, that is so weird and that is so unattractive in my opinion. And I didn't necessarily want other people to see me with him skipping around. And I think that that was a big thing on my end. Yeah, like my end for the ick is I didn't want to like have other people be like, oh, that's weird, and she is also with him and that's weird in that retrospect.
Okay, have you considered that he might be a time traveling orangutan who changed his name to Skips because he lost the first love of his life in a tornado?
You know, I would really hope so.
Could have been him.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have been. That's a reference to yet another cartoon called Regular Show, but anyway, I digress. A weirdly deep show involving a character named Skips, who skips everywhere because he lost the love of his life to tragedy. Anyway, I don't think that's what happened.
But a relationship deep dive.
Yeah. It's a weird story, but your story's a little bit more straight. Did you ever ask him about it?
No, I think I stopped talking to him after that first interaction in person. So
okay, well, hopefully he's. Skipping because he's
hopefully
in a good
skipping
mood.
Along.
True. I hope he found just somebody he could skip through life with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope. All right. I've got one last question in our final few minutes here. We've spent some time talking about how, in many ways, the ick isn't necessarily a red flag in another person, but it is more about, like, us and our subjective experience. And we've talked about how we can overcome the ick. So my question to you is, what is something that maybe we can do through our use of agency to scrub ourselves of the ick when we see it in another person? Like, what's the self-work that we can do in an instance where, you know, it's not really the other person's fault? Any thoughts on those elements of self-improvement?
Yeah, I think that definitely having some self-reflection as well. I know that when I've caught myself with the ick, and then I kind of have some self-reflection of, oh, well, would I want the other person to also have these feelings about me if I did that? Mm-hmm. And usually my answer is no. I would want them to kind of look past that and to look more into just me rather than the icks I'm giving. Even though their icks are sometimes hard to ignore, that doesn't mean that they're impossible to not really touch on. So
okay, so what I'm hearing, and tell me if I'm wrong here, what I'm hearing is instead of focusing on the behavior, focus on the other person's characteristics and personality.
Yes.
And nest the behavior within their characteristics. That might help us to overcome those feelings of ick. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good advice. Mm-hmm. Spoken like a comm major.
I was just going to add, I think it's important to, if you haven't already like brought it up directly, understanding the dynamic, whether if they're like an avoidant personality or like they seem more secure in the relationship, if you can bring it up. And I always think back to this one example when Riley and I were first in a classes together. I noticed, well, she brought it up at one point after she seemed pretty frustrated that I used to talk over her quite a bit in conversations. And it wasn't necessarily that I didn't want her to talk. It was that I was like excited to talk with her about things, even in group situations. And she brought up with me that I would talk over her from time to time. And I've tried working on that, and I'm a lot better at it. And I noticed that I did in a lot of other situations, but it's something that you have to like be able to come at it from a completely unbiased perspective and understand that other people's perspectives are just as important as your perspective on the situation, and being able to be humble about it and just own up to what's going on.
Okay, so learn how to take criticism, learn how to ask people proactively is it okay? Am I doing anything wrong? Riley, has he gotten better?
I would say yes. Sometimes he gets a little excited, but.
Well, if it's all in good faith, then that's great. But yeah, no, that ability to not only take criticism, but ask for criticism can be hard, right? But doing that can invite a conversation with the other person in which you can voice your concerns and you can allow them to do that for them. Nice. I think that's a really good note to end on, which is good because we've only got about 45 seconds left. So, Josh Riley, I really want to thank you all for coming on. I want to make having students on the podcast a little bit more regular. So thank you for breaking the ice on that one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been awesome. Great.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what doesn't give us the ick. It's the four horsemen of the relationship apocalypse, which we'll be talking about in our season finale with a couple of guests, actually. So we'll move on from the ick. And I don't mean to put you all on the spot here. I believe that both of you have a final to take, right?
Yes.
For my class. Yes. So tell you what, I'll let you go. And in the meantime, we'll prep for our conversation on the four horsemen of the relationship apocalypse and the series or season finale, I should say. But until then, I hope everybody has a great finals week. Best of luck. Have at it.
You've been listening to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. If you'd like to be on the show or have questions for us, please send us an email to redrockrelationships@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Just search Red Rock Relationships. Thank you again. And remember, it all begins with good communication. This has been a production from a podcast studio.